Hey everybody, this is Jason Fisher. Welcome back to the Be Better Tomorrow podcast. I am your coach on this journey towards personal and professional growth. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you found us. Hope you'll find something today to help you be better tomorrow. That's the whole goal of the show. We want to help to improve your life, and whether that's personally or professionally, there's little tips and tricks to be done, and we're all on this journey together, so glad you could come along. If you're a lifelong learner like me, you're going to enjoy this. If you're one of our returning listeners, thanks so much. I appreciate you all. Seeing numbers and the downloads increasing slightly over time makes me very happy. It's also going to help me achieve my goals of making this podcast truly successful. Before we dive into today's topic, I want to remind everyone to connect with us online. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Be Better Podcast, or on Facebook at Be Better Tomorrow Podcast. Unfortunately, the names could not be available on all the platforms. That would make life too easy, and I didn't want to rebrand my whole show. So if you can't remember all that, you can always go to BeBetterTomorrow.com. All the social links are at the top. And if you need to email me, which I would love to have you do because I love listener questions and conversation, you can do that at Jason at BeBetterTomorrow.com. All right, this conversation is this conversation topic is a framework that I've discovered, I can't even remember when, years ago, but it's really changed the way I have conversations. So I'll have this posted in some visuals online. So go check those places out if you can't remember this or you're a visual person like me that likes to see it. But it's the four phases of conversation. All right, hear me out. When you're saying something, four phases of communication. When you're saying something, when you're communicating to somebody else verbally, there's the first step, which is what you intend to say. It's what's in your head. It's the perfect rendition of what you're communicating. It is the purest thought that you are trying to project through vibrations in the air into the eardrums of another person. Okay, that is the idea that you have. Let's assume that that's right. Although, sometimes you're thinking one thing and you mean another, so sometimes that phase gets messed up. The second phase of communication is what you say. The words that you actually use, the vibrations and articulations of your tongue that shoot, hopefully meaning, across the ether space into the ears of the other person. Then that next phase in communication is what they hear. So it is possible that they mishear you. You could debate whether this is in the phase three or phase four, because phase four is what they infer or what they understand about what you said. Somewhere in there, they can either hear a different word than what you said physically, or they can misinterpret or misunderstand what you intend. I'm finding this a lot at work right now as we're bringing different groups together. And I've seen this in my consulting career. Every time I came in to kind of wrangle the cats between two different departments, what I would often find is people were using the same words to mean different things, or they were using different words and meaning the same thing. And this just caused a breakdown in communication. So if it's a miracle when you think about it this way, that anything ever gets effectively communicated. But bringing this framework into my head helped me to walk so much more humbly with my kids, with my wife, with my coworkers, because I recognized we take communication for granted. Every day, there's something going on. We are talking to each other all the time. There's always a back and forth. Most of the time, it goes smashingly. It goes way better than it should, considering how difficult this should theoretically be. But at any one of those four phases, something can get messed up. Like I said, you might mean something in your head one way, and you might not even know the word. There's just something that your internal thought is even incorrect, but more than likely what happens in miscommunication is it gets from your brain to your lips and a different word comes out or a different tone comes out than you mean. Something happens that makes you miscommunicate what you intended in your head, or it is communicated differently. Perhaps you don't know the words to articulate exactly the thought process that you're having. And while you're thinking about it, you may be stumbling or stuttering through. You might throw out a word that is as close as you can get, but isn't really the feeling or the emotion that you're trying to get to. Then, by the time that communication gets to the other person, again, they may mishear. They may hear a different word than you actually said. More than likely, if there's a miscommunication, they will misinterpret the things that you said. So this is why active listening becomes super important. But often in the heat of it, we jump right back in with assuming that the communication happened perfectly and we disagree. I can't tell you how many times I've watched arguments with people, slowed down to listen, and realized that I'm pretty sure they're agreeing aggressively. That's the new phrase that I've worked into my vocabulary. They sound like they're arguing, but they're agreeing aggressively. Now, whether they know it or not is a whole nother question. And sometimes I've had to stop and say, okay, let me make sure I understand both of you. And when I do that, they both realize that they agree more than they don't. So much of what we do on a day-to-day basis is communicating to other human beings. I'm a big fan of slowing down on some of these things. Social media and the internet has made us speed up our communication so much that it's almost hard to imagine, you know, George Washington, you know, talking that quickly to Thomas Jefferson, unless, of course, you've seen Hamilton, in which case you think they all talk fast. But I suggest that they probably were a little slower to speak and took a little more thought in what they were doing. But here's my point. When you realize these four phases of communication are present, and you realize that there's been a miscommunication, or even as soon as you realize there's a disagreement, make sure your communication was effective first. Did you communicate the thing you meant to communicate? Did they understand the thing you meant for them to understand? Before you start arguing back and forth about something that may not need to be argued about, or that, worse yet, may cause strife in your relationship, people respect and appreciate when they are heard and understood. And when you take the time to listen and to make sure that you understand what they're trying to say. That's why active listening is so important. We've talked about it before on the show. When somebody says something to me that sounds out of place or sounds odd, I don't go, that's crazy or that's stupid or why would you think that? I try not to anyway. I'm not perfect. Sometimes those words blurt out of my face. What I do is stop and say, okay, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Let me say this back to you in my own words and you tell me if I got it right. That way, I'm not telling them they've miscommunicated. I'm not telling them I've done something wrong. I'm admitting that the fault may be on my end and walking humbly into that conversation to go, okay, where do we disagree here? Once we find that point of disagreement, then we can start to understand, okay, well, you might believe this or I might believe this. I do this in political conversations all the time, never online, because I just don't think that's the right method for me to communicate. I know some people can communicate effectively and come to understandings online. It's just not my way of doing things. For one, I like to get the grace to ask a few clarifying questions on beliefs, and the internet doesn't really provide the right method to do that. If I ask one simple question, then I get three paragraphs back. I'm like, yeah, but you kind of answered my question, then you made these other points, and I really just want to go back and address these, so I have to ignore what you just said. That's not helpful. In an in-person conversation, I can give different signals or cues that I want to hold on. Let me hold. I appreciate you want to say something else, but let me make sure I understand this point first, because I think this is where we disagree. And before we go down the road, I want to make sure we're starting from the same point. Again, people appreciate that you're trying to understand that usually. When emotions get involved, if you're talking about something that brings passion to the situation, it can be a little more difficult. But if you're talking about things at work, hopefully that's not the case. But sometimes it is. People take their work very passionately. So even in those cases, sometimes you need to walk humbly, ask questions, and make sure you understand what the other person is talking about. Then when you understand that completely, you can tear them apart and tell them why they're wrong and stupid. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, don't do that. Hopefully you can have a productive conversation at that point once everybody's on the same page, speaking the same language, and has a shared understanding. All right, here's our listener letter for the week. Again, if you want to send in a letter to ask a question, please do. I'd love to answer these. Send them in to jason@bebettertomorrow.com. This person says they're a longtime listener. They appreciated the show. But this is all about the critics to coaches from last week. However, I find myself pondering a question that I hoped you could shed some light on in a future episode, perhaps via email. No, you can get the show. It's fine. We'll answer it here. When dealing with critics who are especially harsh, or when the feedback feels more personal than constructive, how do you decipher which parts of the critique to take as opportunities for growth and which parts to let go? How do you maintain your emotional equilibrium and not allow negative feedback to dishearten you? Well, I would love to say I've got a great answer for that. Honestly, the second part, I'm not great at. I tend to get very emotionally engaged. I don't know that I'm one of the genetically sensitive people I talked about last time, although based on sometimes how my daughter responds, maybe there's a genetic component to it. And I know as a child, I very much overreacted and cried and got frustrated and angry about feedback. Again, I didn't have a growth mindset then. There's a lot of lot of issues from my childhood that we aren't going to delve into here, but let me start with the first part. I initially try to examine, once I get done yelling and venting and being frustrated about the fact that they had dared to speak out about me, totally kidding, I try to examine all parts and try to understand, you know, is this something I've heard before? Is this something that held me back previously? Is this something I've seen in my past? If it is, it doesn't matter what they meant, whether they were up, you know, they meant it as a personal attack or whether they meant it as constructive feedback. I can examine that and say, okay, my mouth has gotten me in trouble in this way in the past. This person is just the next person to be upset by that particular facet of my personality. For example, being found argumentative. Because of the way I process information, I tend to examine both sides. I want to understand things from both sides. So I will ask questions that I have learned come across as argumentative. And now I've learned better ways to do that and to preface by explaining to people that's what I'm trying to do. But if I don't, and they don't know that, they just may think I'm arguing all the time about things. And I've had people tell me that. You just like to argue. I don't really just like to argue, but I do want to get to the bottom of something and understand it and know what the truth is. So hearing that feedback over and over didn't change the fact that I have an inquisitive mind and that I want to understand those things. It did change the way I approached the situations. It changed the way I spoke. It changed the way that I would address people. For example, I don't just say, why? 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 Why do you do that? Why is that? Why automatically puts people on the defensive? I don't want people on the defensive. I want them willing to help me. And so I've started saying other things. Can you explain that to me? Oh, I don't understand why that's the case. Can you help me get the reason behind that? It's all the same. You know, all this, it means the same thing, but what it does is allow me to address people in a way that's more productive. If it's a personal attack, I mean, everything can be taken somewhat personally. Now, if someone's literally insulting you and your parents and your ancestry and your children or something, I don't know. I don't know what the situation might be. You can just walk away. I remember I had a boss once who just cussed me out, made me feel horrible, and I swore that would never happen to me again. And so I ended up getting into more of a boardroom situation, and an executive was speaking disrespectfully and cursing, and I got up to leave. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. When you're ready to talk like an adult, we can have this conversation. Until then, I'm leaving." I just had promised myself that that wasn't going to happen again. And I was willing to walk away from that job to make that happen. This is before I had a wife and kids. That might make it a little more difficult. But now the point is, he apologized and respected my decision. We were able to make up. He realized he was overreacting. I think the key phrase that I've tried to apply to my life, although I don't all the time, is respond, don't react. When people are yelling at you, especially if you know you're walking into a tense situation, sometimes you just have to take a breath and respond with calm and kindness. So remember the old Roadhouse movie, stay calm, be nice, that's what it was, be nice. When do we not be nice? You'll know when it's time to not be nice, because I'll tell you. Sometimes you just have to be nice, and be nice until there is a moment where, again, hopefully in a professional situation, it's not happening, but occasionally it does, when you're not nice anymore. I hope that's helpful. It is very difficult to separate our personal feelings from these mindsets. That's why we do all the hard work of emotional intelligence. Our identities are so entwined in who we are and the work that we do and all these things about us. But we do have to separate that our actions are not our identity. We can change the actions that we take. We can change and sand and mold the personality quirks that we have, but still maintain the core personality that makes our identity who we want it to be in the future. And if it's something that you want to carry with you and you don't mind dealing with some of the ramifications, that's fine too. You just have to make that decision intentionally. All right, I hope this has been helpful. I'm still Jason Fisher, and it's been an absolute pleasure sharing time with you today. I hope this conversation has given you some ideas to ponder, apply to your life, ways to improve. If you found anything valuable in what we shared, please, please, please share this on Facebook, on Instagram, on ever. Tell your friends, make your kids listen to it in the car. Hey, Steve. And make sure that somebody else hears this, because we want to have as much reach as possible. We want to help people grow and transform and help everyone to be better tomorrow than they are today. You can reach out to me again at jason@bebettertomorrow.com. You can catch all of our social medias at bebettertomorrow.com on the top nav. But if you really just want to go to the social media sites and check it out on Facebook, facebook.com/bebettertomorrowpodcast, twitter.com/bebetterpodcast, instagram.com/bebetterpodcast. Remember, no matter where you are today, there's always room for growth. Let's keep pushing, learning, and growing together. Thank you. And until next time, I hope you found something today to help you be better tomorrow.
Be Better Tomorrow is released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share-alike attribution license, which means you can use this show or clips of it for anything you like as long as you give us credit and you aren't doing it for commercial purposes. The music you're hearing now is by Kevin McLeod of IncomTech, also released under Creative Commons share-alike license. All the information about this show and others can be found at bebettertomorrow.com, and I hope, as always, you'll find something to help you be better tomorrow.